Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for your extravagant generosity. Please help me to share it with my brothers and sisters and friends here. Amen. Right, I think Hannah has done my talk through her testimony, so perhaps I can go now. I received an email, and it read, will you please do this talk? Living Generously. And the email that came with it read, generosity is at the heart of salvation, what it means to be adopted, an adopted child of God. He himself gives us everything we have, our possessions, money, intellect, skills, and everything we actually have comes from him. And this ought to reflect in our attitude to the needs of others. And I thought, okay, I'll tell them and I'll go. Unless you give me word to speak. And living generously sounds like a very easy, simple talk to do, but it can be quite tricky. Because you either end up preaching at people, telling them how to live generously, or you just give loads of quotations from the Bible, forgetting that there might be people visiting who haven't read the Bible. So the task was to try and share my thoughts on generosity, what I've read in the Bible and heard from other people. So bear with me, because this talk might be a little bit disjointed. The passage Matthew 10, 1 to 10, challenges us to a deeper level of giving. Generosity is sharing what Jesus has given us. As Harvey read, freely you have received, freely give. Like I said, it sounds very simple, but it can be very, very difficult to do. Generosity is at the heart of our being. The fact is, even non-believers know the importance of being generous. I come from a culture where generosity is big. Others, people might think it's because we had so little, but I think we have quite a lot. But you can be named and shamed from being from that stingy home. So on the whole, people where I come from tend to give. Doors are more open. And I think it helps us, because life can be pretty dire, can't it? One of my all-time favorite Bible passages, in fact, the first one I ever memorized, was John 3:16. And it's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And even as a child, I thought, wow, how would he do that? So I went from, what a wicked man to give his only son, to coming to the terms with the fact that this is incredible, the deepest, the most amazing display of love for anyone, for us who are not quite worthy to receive. It shows the heart of our extravagantly generous God, who is willing to come down in the form of his son to die so that we will not perish. And it shows in the life our Lord Jesus lived, he was radically generous. He gave freely of himself, his time, healed, and eventually he died on the cross. It's quite mind-boggling sometimes when I think about it. And then we're told that we have to emulate Christ's generosity. That's huge. How are we going to do that? We're nervous to even pray for people, let alone start healing. And giving and opening our doors. And unfortunately, the current economic climate makes it very, very difficult to be generous. However, I think we need to remind ourselves that as followers of Christ, we are already equipped by the Holy Spirit to be like him, to become more like him daily. That's if we truly desire to. This means to copy him, copy his giving, his generosity, to behave like him, to live like him, and to share like him, share as he did and as he's still doing now, because he's just blessing us daily. As Sally spoke about her son, and in spite of everything that he was going through, he had confessed Jesus as King. He believed. He spoke those words. He said he believed. And this extravagantly generous God knows that, knows his heart. So in spite of everything that he was going through, Christ has his heart. And he's got him. Sally, he's got your son because he's generous. It's not how we, you know, what we see on the outside is what's in the heart. And this is to display, to show you the depth of the heart of Christ, of God. That's how generous he is. Because none of us would be sitting here if he wasn't. Our lives must honor him. Living to please God doesn't only involve coming to church and tithing and giving money for kingdom work, but our time too. Yeah, time is priceless. It's a very, very priceless commodity. We are very busy, so it's hard to give time. So let's give time. When you look at the history of Christianity in the book of Acts, Christians were, you know, that was when they were facing massive persecution. But in spite of the persecution, this was the time when Christians were most generous. We all remember the brothers bringing all they had. You remember the story of what was the name of the chap who nicked the money and his wife died and all of that? And his wife, yeah. They gave everything they had. They laid hands. I mean, these were people who were hiding. They were being persecuted, but they came out. They had word for each other. And I know that, I mean, the times there were completely different from the times we live in. But God's heart hasn't changed. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. And the relationship with Christ hasn't changed. The Bible hasn't changed. Now, how can we show generosity to our neighbors and to reach out to people in our broken world? Hannah has given us that already. How do we do it? How do we bless people? And there are many, many ways of being generous, especially when we ourselves have been blessed with salvation, the ultimate blessing. Plus, we are blessed with the Holy Spirit who equips us if we truly desire to be generous. For in being generous, we share the heart of our Savior with both our Christian family and the rest of the world. We'll find that the act of giving of ourselves is like a link in the chain of love which binds us together, because the heart of God is love. And love is a verb. It's a doing word. It's giving. And we grow as we bless others. We grow. We grow. We definitely grow. We're blessed so we can bless others. Being generous brings joy to both the giver and the recipient. We often feel good when we've helped others. So perhaps we can kickstart it again. I mean, there's so many practical ways of being generous. Making time to share an encouraging word with someone who seems down and out of sorts. And please, please don't worry about how they will respond. just give it a try. Just go, because it's compassion that compels us to reach out and say, are you all right? Seeing somebody on the platform crying. My girls and I experienced that a few days ago. And again, you know, even our Christian children are sometimes conditioned by the world, because my daughter came and said, Mummy, there's a young lady crying. Do you have any tissues? So I gave it to her. She took it to the girl and came back. So I turned to go. She said, no, don't go. It's embarrassing. Stop being so embarrassing. Don't go. And I thought, I am going. So I did. And I said, are you all right? Where are you going? And she said, Hastings. I said, would you like a hug? And she got up. She was the same age as, a little older than Lizzie. And I hugged her. And I said, the train is here. Would you like to come and sit with us? And she sat with the mad ramps. It was a time with the rampies. So there was laughter and cheek. And she was still crying, but laughing at times. And by the time we left her in high brooms, she was calm. Somehow we managed to exchange numbers. And she sent a very, very sweet message. Unfortunately, I don't have it here. And I was glad that she was happy to go home. That was my act of generosity. But I was also, I know that I have children. I have four daughters. And I know a few of them sit on platforms and cry. And I'd like someone to look and say, are you okay? And that is giving. It didn't cost me anything. Please, let's stop. Let's look. Let's listen. With a listening heart and ear. So, how are you, Dodo? I'm fine. And then you're going. How are you, Dodo? My brother dropped dead yesterday. But you didn't hear that bit because you went listening with a listening heart. Let's listen. Let's listen and hear beyond the I'm okay. That is time. It's generous. It's giving. Because a listening ear can save a life. Share a scripture. Don't be afraid. When you see someone and you think a scripture comes, give it to them. Yours is to obey the word of God. Yours is to love, to give. Let someone know you're praying for them. And please do pray. Let's open our doors and our fridges. We don't have to cook a 3-course, 4-course meal. It could be beans and toast with laughter and song and conversation. And I beg your pardon, but this is England, and the British man's home is their castle. We do not open our doors too regularly. Let's start. We are Christians. Let's emulate the early Christians. Let's share all of us, our whole being, who we are. It could be just for a cup of tea. And you'll be amazed how you start having a cup of tea with someone and the conversation goes and then it shifts your focus from all the darkness and the heaviness that you might be feeling. And the person goes feeling good and you feel good. I mean, I know that because I get so lonely because I've got teenage daughters. So my girls tease me. They say, you pay for company. Of course I do. But I get it, so I invite you, come for a meal, and I'll cook. And I will work hard, and I'll cook a lovely meal. And I don't mind, because by the time you go, you've blessed me. So, come for a meal. It's easy to think it's hard work. It's not, if you put your mind to it. Give a hug. Share a tear. Empathize. In my experience, I mean, some of the most fantastic, most wonderful times when Christopher first died and I was really struggling, where the mothers from my children's school who would come, and they didn't really know me when Lizzie first went to Salisbury School, and they would just sit and cry and not say anything. It's called empathy. It's a giving. These gifts have no price tags. They're huge. The extravagant generosity. And by the way, you can still be generous to folk who seem to have everything. Ask your neighbor how they are and let them know they can call on you at any time. Don't be irritated if they keep knocking on your door for your water hose or the ladder. Give it to them. Use that as an opportunity to start a relationship. In fact, I was listening to a talk the other day, and I think it was Rick Warren. He said he had a ladder or a hose, something, but he made it a point to knock on his neighbor's door to borrow theirs. And that was the opening conversation, you know, starting to talk to each other, getting to know them. Plus, you make them feel good that they are blessing you. You will find that such simple requests can break down barriers and might lead to you sharing the word of God that you so desperately want to share, and they will see the love of Christ in you. If not, at least they will feel appreciated. Because realistically, influence doesn't come from what we get in life. It is from what we give in life. We can influence them. They get to know who Jesus is. Why is this person like this? They will ask you bold questions, then you give them bold answers. It's not debating about scripture. It is our action. It's generosity. It's lovely. It makes them feel good. It makes you feel good. By the way, I feel like I'm preaching to you, but really I'm trying to share with you. And, you know, the sad thing is, we live in the speedy world where we're rushed to move along daily. So we end up missing out on opportunities to be generous. We rush to catch the train. We leave church so fast because someone is coming. We've got too much to do, so we miss out praying with somebody. And it's a shame. But this is the world we live in. But talking about rushing brings, you know, you see, things, everything is so urgent. We live in a very urgent world. Even our young children have been caught into this whole urgency. What about importance? This brings me to when Jesus was going to heal Jairus' daughter. He was on his way, and suddenly he felt someone touch his cloak, and some of his power left him, so he stopped. The girl was dying. They needed to get him there, but he stopped. He stopped, and he turned. And we all know about the story of the late woman with the issue of bleeding. He stopped. Jesus stopped. Our Lord Jesus stopped. Let's stop. Yes, another bus will come. Another train will come. Let's stop. Our children can wait a little bit. I've got teenagers who are, it's now. It's got to be like now. No, wait. Let's stop. Our Lord Jesus stopped. And we're still hearing about the woman with the bleeding issue. That's generosity. Stopping when you're in a hurry is a huge gift. It's huge. Compassion makes us stop. In Hebrews 13:16, it says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." In the unseen things you do are the seeds of blessings in your lives. Being generous doesn't have to be loud or showy. In the last 7 years, my girls and I have been blessed with unbelievable kindness from our church family and others. I'm reading this one because I don't forget it. Not all of whom have been believers. Very quiet, but extravagantly generous blessings. From cards with fantastic, timely wording dropping through my door. Cakes appearing at the door. I don't hear anybody. I go and the cakes and the flowers. Some people come and sit in the early. They leave their young families with their poor husbands, long-suffering husbands, and come and sit with me. And then others come, so they go and sit with my children. I will never forget these. So it will be easy for me to do that for someone else because it has been done for me. Spontaneous financial gifts, talking about, I could be talking about, moaning about money. One of the most amazing things was I had mentioned a figure and someone said, oh, I have promised God I had that on the side, perhaps. And I'm thinking, wow. And it wasn't showing. Luke 6, 38 says, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your laps. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. But let's remember, this scripture is not a formula for financial success. The motivation is to be generous must be love, in obedience to the word of God. The verse that was read, verse 8 says, you have received without paying, so give without being paid. Because usually, people we're generous to are not necessarily the same people who bring it back. It comes back. Cast your loaves upon the waters and she'll come back to you. It will come back. I next to this bit from what's his name again? Rick Warren. He said, influence doesn't come from what we receive, but what we give. As we want to lift the name of Jesus higher, a banner that flies across the land, et cetera, et cetera, let's be generous. That is the quickest and fastest way to lift Jesus' name up. Growing up, my grandfather had a saying. He says, a clenched fist can't receive, but an open palm, which is given, is open, so can receive. And the clenched fist says, all I have gained on my own. But an open hand says, all I have, God has provided and blessed me with. I'm simply a manager of God's gift. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians said, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the people of Macedonia, the church of Macedonia. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege to serve, the privilege to give, of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. They exceeded our expectation. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. And then, by the will of God, also to us. It is easy to be kind to our friends and our family. But as believers, we are called to move beyond our close family and friends and touch lives. To open our doors to others even when it's inconvenient for us. By being generous, we share what Christ has given us. We show practical Christian love. Generosity is what builds bridges and links people who would otherwise not know anything about Jesus. Communities are built on generosity. Where are our treasures? In heaven or in our bank accounts? I read somewhere, the worthiness of a human's life is not measured by the size of their bank account, but by the size of their heart. Giving from the heart is its own reward. In Isaiah 58:10, it says, if you give food to the hungry and satisfy those who are in need, then the darkness around you will turn to the brightness of the moon. Proverbs 22:9, be generous and share your food with the poor. You'll be blessed for it. Matthew 25:34-40 says, then the king will say to the people on his right, come, you who are blessed by my family. Come and possess the kingdom which you have prepared, which we have prepared since creation for the world. I was hungry and you fed me. Thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your home. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. In prison and you visited me. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we ever do any of these for you? And he will say, when? And the king will say, I tell you, whenever you did this, this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me. Do it for Jesus, if not for anything at all. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let's take time to ask the Holy Spirit to show us how we can be generous in our own unique way, starting from where we are now. Let's wait and respond when we are greeted. Let's hear when we ask how people are. We can spend the whole day on this topic. But I suggest we step out and do generosity. Let's do love. Love in action. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your heart. Thank you for dying for us. Please lead us. Show us where we can be generous to others. Teach us to share with you. Amen.